This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and flunkies, or is it flunkies and junkies? I never get it right. I don't even care anymore. We've arrived at the next step on the road to NWA greatness, we hope. Welcome to the special Friday edition of the NWA Saturday special. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. Joining me, as always, the doctor, Dr. G, George Abellino. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. We got pay-per-view ahead of us. You know what? We're going to be positive instead of going
in. A great preview. Yes. Yeah. A great preview.
Because you know what? You go in negative, you're just going to hate everything. You know, just take it for what it is and enjoy it.
And there's some people that like hating everything, but they're just miserable human beings. Well,
they live what can I tell you?
They live at home in a basement, breathing out of their mouth. Anyway. We did not do a show last week because schedules and such and work and, you know, real life gets in the way, which is starting to really bother me now. I'm tired of life. You know, I wish I could just podcast for a living. That would be great. Could you imagine? I guess I'd have to win Powerball to do that. But anyway, unless you sell swamp land in Gainesville or some shit. So anyway, we are back. And tonight, as Dr. G mentioned, is a pay-per-view that's a lot meatier than I thought it was. Of course, I am talking about NWA 312, which is tonight in the suburbs of Chicago. 14 matches. I mean, four of them are on the pre-show, but still 10 matches on the main show. Now, having said that, you know how Billy is. It could be no matches in the pre-show, 9 matches in the pre-show. Who the hell knows? Depends how much they want to jam into that hour on YouTube. But in any event, if you have Fight Plus, this pay-per-view is included. All the titles are on the line, but I have a very, I'm going to say this, doctor.
What do you
I have a very hot, I have a very hot, hot take on match order tonight in Chicago. I don't think the main event should be what we think the main event should be or is going to be. I have a reason for that. So,
what is it?
I'll tell you in a minute. So, yeah. So tonight, or this morning, we are going to break down the pay-per-view and preview it for you on this exceptional Friday morning as we head into Easter and Passover. 14 matches. We have a ton of title matches and some very interesting pre-show matches as well. But all the titles are on the line. And we have the Matt Rotella showcase match on this pay-per-view as well, Dr. G.
We do.
Yes. So, let us begin. 14 matches, 4 on the pre-show, 10 on the main show. We've got, title matches. We've got the finals of the NWA Women's Television Title Tournament. We will have an inaugural Women's Television Champion tonight. We have a world title match, national. I don't think we have a TV. No, we don't. The only title not on the line tonight is the TV title. The TV champion is wrestling, but it is not for a belt. It's not for his, Tom Latimer is not defending the world's television title tonight, but he is in a match. Very strange one, in my opinion. All right. So ready, Dr. G? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's break it down. It's gonna be a fun show tonight. I think, world title match, not, withstanding. Anyway. All right, so 4 matches on the pre-show. We have a title match. The NWA United States Tag Team titles are on the line. Your champions, the Country Gentlemen, AJ Kazana and Anthony Andrews taking on the SVGs, which is the team of Jack Stain and Blake Bulletproof Troop. I think the Country Gentlemen keep it. I think it'll be a good match. Very physical. But I think the Country Gentlemen have not had the belts long enough to really, you know, deserve to lose them. So, you agree?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. How about this for an interesting tag team? Trevor Murdoch and Mike Knox against Daisy Kill and Talos. Talos is that really tall guy. This is a strange team. Obviously, Dr. Matt Cardona is gone because kind of Mike Knox has kind of turned babyface and nobody even mentions him anymore. Of course, his wife is in WWE. I think that the whole Cardona family thing is done. And I think Mike Knox is now a babyface. Very weird. In any event, it is he and Murdoch against Daisy Kill and Talos. I think Murdoch and Mike Knox probably win.
Yeah, me too. You know, look how weird this is. Trevor Murdoch, he was headlining the pay-per-views last year, and now he's in a pre-show match.
Yeah, he's not even curtain jerking. He's just jerking. yeah. Natalia Markova is taking on La Brava Escobar in a singles match. I'm sure Natalia Markova will probably win. And then the Matt Rotella showcase match. It is Sal the Pal against Gags the Gimp in a hair versus mask strap match.
Who does he root for?
I don't know. Because this is a total a Matt Rotella showcase match. Sal the Pal, Gags the Gimp. Hair versus mask strap match. The Gags the Gimp gimmick, incidentally, Dr. G, is one of the gimmicks that made fucking Nick Aldis want to leave, incidentally. I don't know if you knew that or not, but.
Really?
Yeah, he thought the NWA when he was, you know, when we first came in was, you know, back to the old territory days and good hard wrestling and good realistic stories and stuff. And now we have, you know, gimps.
Okay. Gags.
Gags the Gimp. So there's your pre-show matches. All right, let's get down to business. Kratos versus Yabo the Clown. And now we wonder why Nick Aldis left. We have Sal the Pal, Gags the Gimp, and Yabo the Clown. I have no idea who Yabo the Clown is. Truth be told, I did not get a chance to watch this past week's episode of Power. We weren't going to recap it anyway because we got the preview. So I don't know if this was something that they talked about on the show, but there is somebody named Yabo the Clown wrestling Kratos tonight. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I love Kratos. As a matter of fact,
what do you say? I don't even know.
I don't know. What's funny is I saw Kratos wrestle over WrestleMania weekend last weekend. I want to talk to you about WrestleMania too when we get to the at the end. I saw Kratos wrestle in the GCW show over the weekend in LA. And he had a very good match. I'm trying to remember who he wrestled. Oh, I think it was it Davey Boy Smith? I think it was. I think it was Baby Bulldog. It was a good match. If that's who I think it is. I think it is. Anyway, now he's wrestling Yabo the Clown.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Dr. G, Yabo the Clown is like the Phantom at Halloween Havoc 91, and it turned out to be Rick Rude. I'm not saying Yabo the Clown's Rick Rude. Can't be. He's dead. But maybe Yabo the Clown is a front for a big debut. You said you wanted to be positive, right?
I did.
You wanted to be positive.
So maybe Yabo the Clown will surprise us.
What are you doing? What are you doing over there? Are you hanging out with Diesel?
Why?
I don't know. I hear a lot of scrummaging. Are you showing off your beard to La Brava Escobar right now? Is that what you're doing? Are you Yabo the Clown?
I'm Yabo the Clown.
It's the beginning of the NWA Saturday special takeover of the NWA. You're going to be Yabo the Clown, and I'm going to jump Billy Corgan right in the middle of this match. What do you think?
Imagine.
Could you imagine? Dr. G and the Podfather, the real one, take over the NWA. We beat up. We book our own matches, and, you know, we have all. It'd be pretty great. What do you think?
Be a great storyline.
It would be. I agree. Next match. Tom Latimer. This is a weird singles match. Tom Latimer to take on Bully Ray. I don't know if Bully Ray turned heel or if this is just like a one-on-one baby faces. I don't know what this is. It is not for Tom's television championship. It's just a plain singles match. It's non-title.
It would be nice to see Bully Ray put Tom Latimer over, kind of really.
He should
help put the championship over too, even though it's not on the line here.
He really should. He really should put him over. I agree. I think he will. Very strange. It's not for the TV title though. All right. Next up, we have, this is interesting, the Bob Luce. Who the hell's Bob Luce? Anyway, the Bob Luce Memorial Battle Royal to determine the number one contender for the National Heavyweight Championship. And that title's on the line in a little, we'll talk about that match in a little bit. So here are the competitors. Jay Bradley, Vic Dalicious, Homicide, Rhett Titus, Jeremiah Plunkett, Hale Collins, Mercurio, Brady Pierce, Odinson, Throwbilly Silas, Wrecking Ball Ligursky, Jordan Clearwater, Alex Taylor, Rolando Freeman, PJ Hawks, Matt Vine, Fodder, Magic Jake Dumas, Eric Jackson, and Rush Freeman.
Wow.
So the winner of this battle royal will get a future national heavyweight title shot. My take, because they've been pushing him, and it's actually a guy that they've consistently pushed, like he's on every week, whether it's Power, whether it's NWA USA, or both. So I am going with Throwbilly Silas. I think he wins this battle royal.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad shot. They're definitely building him up.
They really are. They're building him up. And he's good. I think he's a solid worker. He's got a good look with the mullet and the mutton chops. He's got his girl there, Pollo Del Mar. I think he wins this battle royal. I really do. Now, if somebody else wins out of the blue, then this is typical Billy shit booking. But really, Throwbilly Silas should win this match because he's been they talked about him being the one that should have had the next national title shot. And of course, it went to EC3. And we'll talk about that match in a minute. So there you go. The Bob Luce Memorial Battle Royal will determine the next number one contender for the national heavyweight title. My pick, our pick, is Throwbilly Silas. Next up, and I think, you're right over there. What are you doing?
What's going on?
I keep hearing, I just keep hearing, you'll hear it in the back. I thought maybe you were wrestling Throwbilly. I thought maybe you're shaving Throwbilly Silas.
What's going on here? I'm just listening to you.
Oh, well, sounds like you're rubbing up against Throwbilly Silas's mutton chops. Maybe you are. I don't know. This next match, I think, should be one of two matches that should end the show, and I'll tell you why. Kerry Morton defending the junior heavyweight title against Joe Alonzo. And I think this match should end the show because this is where I think Kerry Morton should just turn heel. I think Ricky should come out, celebrate or whatever, and Kerry Morton out comes EC3 and Black G's, and Kerry Morton joins the Choose Your Narrative or whatever, and Kerry Morton beats the shit out of his father. But does Kerry Morton have the stones to actually do that? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. This is a chance, though. I think he make a good heel. I really do.
I do too. He's a fucking smarmy little fucking prick, and he could be a good spoiled brat. And I think it'd be great. And I think he should join EC3 and Black G's, their little Control Your Narrative group there, and become a heel. I really do. I think he wins this match. I think he retains the junior heavyweight title. I think his father comes out. Maybe he wins a little, not cheap, but he roughs up Joe Alonzo a little bit. Ricky comes out, says, "Kid, what are you doing? Relax. You won the match. I don't know why you're going to be this way." And Ricky and, Kerry says, "You know what, old man? Fuck you and your fucking 87-year-old mullet," and beats the shit out of him. In your stupid fucking hair, you know? And then Uncle Robert comes out, Robert Gibson, and he beats the shit out of him, too. Anyway.
Beats him down. Crutch.
Right. So we'll see. So there it is. Kerry Morton defending the World Junior title against Joe Alonso. La Rebellion will defend the World Tag Team titles against Magnum Muscle, the team of Mims and Dak Draper. I think it's a good chance for La Rebellion to drop the belts, but it is my man Mims, and I'll believe it when I see it. That's why I'm not saying Mims anymore, because he needs to earn that back, because he's lost. I feel like he's lost like 67 matches in a row. He's like Barry Horowitz. That's right. Billy treats him like Barry Horowitz. I really want Magnum Muscle to win the titles, but I just don't see it happening. I think La Rebellion retains, and I really want to see Mims get over the hump and start being treated with some respect. But I'll believe it when I see it. I've been burned too many. I've been left at the altar too many times, Dr. G. Hello? Do you believe me?
I'm sorry. You dipped out there for a second.
It did. That's because I was talking about Mims and Thrillbilly Silas's mutton chops. Anyway, I want to believe that Magnum Muscle can win this match and become champions, because I want Mims to be my guy again, but I'll believe it when I see it.
La Rebellion, really, really, they are the team of the NWA. I mean, they put on great matches.
Yep.
And they make them, it feels like they're unbeatable.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's crazy.
But you could be surprised here.
I want to be doctor. Come on. How many times has Mims left me at the altar?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we have an upset here.
Wow, really?
Yep.
All right. I can't believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm sticking with La Rebellion to retain. I love you, Mims. You know that, buddy. But you've been leaving me at the altar too many times. I got to believe it. I got to see it to believe it. So, next up, the women's tag team titles are on the line. The champions, Maddie Rinkowski and Missa Kate, take on Pretty Empowered 2.0, Ella Envy and Roxy. I love Ella Envy. She is such a great heel. And they're a good team. Well, her and Kenzie Page are a good team. Roxy has yet to kind of prove herself. I could see the titles changing hands. And then again, I can't see them changing hands. I am going to stick with Maddie and Missa Kate to keep the belts. But I would not be surprised if Pretty Empowered cheats to win the belts back. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be one of the matches of the night, to be honest.
You think so? I think so too. I love watching Pretty Empowered wrestle. They're good heels. I mean, at least Ella Envy and Kenzie Page. Again, Roxy has to prove herself, but I love watching
the women in the NWA are really good.
Yeah, they've always been good.
We don't really get disappointing women's matches.
No, we get Camille and that's it. But I feel like that's changing now. So, all right, well. You're thinking match of the night candidate. Wouldn't surprise me. Do you think Pretty Empowered win the belt back? What do you think?
Yeah. I think Kenzie's going to help them.
Help cheat? Okay. All right. So you're picking new women's tag team champions. Okay. We'll see.
And new.
Speaking of women, here is the best one. And she is the hardest working champion in this company. She's probably going to put on another banger. Camille defending the world women's title against La Rosa Negra. This is her cash-in, or her series cash-in. I like this match a lot. I think it's going to be another good one. Camille coming off that street fight win at Nuff Said over Angelina Love. No. Nothing but good things about La Rosa Negra. I think she's a good wrestler, but she's not the one that's going to end the run. It's just not happening.
I agree.
Nah, Camille wins again because she's that great. Speaking of Kenzie Page, Dr. G, she's in a pretty big match. It is her and Max the Impaler in the finals of the NWA Women's Television Title Tournament. I like Kenzie Page, but I have a feeling Max the Impaler, this is kind of her, this is kind of the reward for, you know, consolation prize for jobbing to Camille. So I would not be surprised. I really wish Samantha Starr was in this because I love, you know, Bibba Dahl. Yeah. I love her daughter and I wish she was in this match. She should be, but she's not, but that's okay. So this one, this is my head heart match. You know, Dr. G, I do at least one of these every pay-per-view. My head says one thing. My heart says the other. My heart tells me that I really want Kenzie Page to win. My head tells me I think Maxine Impaler is going to win. What do you think?
Max the Impaler probably.
Yeah, I think that's a I think that's a payback for jobbing to Camille back at, I guess it was what, NWA 74. So, all right, the national heavyweight title is on the line. Scion defends the title against EC3, and I am totally 100% thinking EC3 wins the national title here. I think he will eventually be world's heavyweight champion.
I agree. I think you have to have him win the, you know, the belt that's, I guess,
number two.
Belt of the second in line, but.
Right.
I think it's time. I think it's time to really push somebody to be the next, but do it in progression. So you need a guy like EC3. I think, you know, he's been in a bigger company before, but
right
in the two big companies, I don't think he's going anywhere right now. So he's a guy you may want to think about putting the belt on after
right.
Kairos. He wouldn't be a bad guy to hold the belt.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think EC3 is eventually going to be world champion. Speaking of the 12 pounds of gold, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship, a match absolutely nobody cares about. Tyrus defending the title against Chris Adonis. Nobody cares about this match. I don't care about this match. You don't care about this match. I think Tyrus wins, and I don't think anybody gives a shit. I think this should not be the main event.
You think Tyrus is becoming more of a face?
I think he's been pushed towards being a face. Yeah.
Which would lead me to believe him versus EC3 eventually.
Correct. Yes, correct. That's my point. That's what I'm saying. It might happen at the Crockett Cup. So.
I can't see Adonis beating Tyrus for the championship. I really can't. What about you?
What's that?
I can't see Tyrus losing the championship to Chris Adonis.
No, I can't either. No, I can't either. I think Tyrus wins here, but I don't think this match should be last because nobody gives a crap. I think the final match should be either Kerry Morton beating the shit out of Ricky after beating Joe Alonso, or EC3 beating Scion to win the national title and kind of building this controller narrative heel group. That's what I think. I don't think Tyrus and Chris Adonis should go on last because nobody cares. Nobody cares. Billy may think people care. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but he's old school in that way, and he always puts the championship match. It's not like WWE booking or sometimes. Whether we like it or not, I think that's just going to be the last match. But where's the juice, though? That's the thing.
Well, I mean, it is the week after Mania, so.
I goof, you know, he's the most watched and world champion, you know, all that. But, like, there's got to be some kind of juice in this for this match besides the championship.
Right.
And. I don't even know if anybody, like you said, totally cares about each one. I don't know.
Nah, I mean, I really do think that the Scion EC3 or Kerry Morton and Joe Alonso should be the last match for different reasons. Tyrus and Chris Adonis, I mean, I get it. Doctor, you're right about the whole old school thing. The only thing I can think of is if, like, Tyrus wins and then EC3 and all them come out and beat the shit out of him. I mean, yeah, I can see that too.
I'm a little. I think your main belt should always be the.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that nobody cares unless this is this match, which nobody cares about, is actually a, you know, a hook for storyline advancement involving EC3 and the whole little group. If that's the case, then fine. But
yeah, because Black Jesus with the EC3 now, so it's like, let's go, you know. The storylines are never totally clear-cut, I feel, at times. You notice that? Like, it's just very...
Very. No, of course, it's never clear-cut.
Like, I feel like Tyrus has been kind of a tweener for a little while now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this is a big... Like, I think this is a good pay-per-view as an in-between. I have a feeling that this was kind of what last year's Always Ready, like the late spring, early summer show was kind of pushed up. I do think the Crockett Cup is the next pay-per-view, and I think it will be sometime in June. And that'll be the last show before we get to the 75th anniversary weekend in August.
I think I would be more interested if it was like his Brodus Clay character, to be honest with you.
Mm.
Have some fun with it or something, you know, where.
Right. Right. Yeah, but I think eventually he's going to lose the title and then he's just going to retire from wrestling. He may stick with the Fox stuff or.
Well, he's got a pretty successful.
Write a book career. And stuff.
He's got a pretty successful career at wrestling. And honestly, he's got a nice little gig here doing the wrestling. He doesn't have to wrestle every single night.
No, but I think you need a. I think we need a better world champion. That's what I think we need. And it could happen. And you know, I don't think Chris Adonis is that guy. But I think there is somebody eventually down the line. I really think. I told you. I think EC3 should win the title at the Crockett Cup and world title, and then I think the main event of night two of NWA 75 is EC3 and Tom Latimer. And Tom Latimer is your new world's heavyweight champion. And we now. Push ahead with the youth movement. That's what I think. Instead of Billy just having guys who you know, are just there to for publicity purposes, start booking like future guys. That's what I think we need to do.
Yeah, Tyrus is kind of one of those guys, I think, like you said, they just give a little mainstream pub
and right.
Then you know, then move on to different things.
Yeah.
Really, where
yeah,
is
it? Maybe.
I can't see him losing the championship and being in so many, like, you know, mid-card storylines after that. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't see it.
Right. No, but I mean, that's my take. I think that something's going to push forward. I think the Crockett Cup will be sometime in June. It won't be in May, too close from this. And then we'll get, and then obviously we'll have shit throughout the summer. Maybe they'll do another one of those like Kentucky shows, maybe in July, you know, one of those like kind of holdovers till we get to NWA 75, unfortunately, in St. Louis. And not somewhere we actually want to go. But anyway. So there you go. There is your preview of NWA 312.
I think it'll be an entertaining show. I mean, we're not going to say it's going to be the best show of the year, and like, but I think it'll be an entertaining show.
But it could be.
I look forward to the women's matches. I look forward to seeing what's going on with Kerry Morton.
Yep.
The Scion EC3 thing. I like to see how that plays out. I think we're going to be all right. I think we'll be entertained. Let's put it that way. If you look. At five-star show, if you're doing 5 out of 5 or however you want to do it.
Maybe. Oh, who says it can't be? You know?
I mean, but you can't go in expecting that is what I'm saying.
Right, right.
You'd be expecting to be.
Interesting article by Billy Corgan. I think it was, not by Billy Corgan, Sean Kidd showed me. Billy seems to think that Tyrus's heat, like the reason people hate Tyrus is because is not because of his wrestling or anything. It's because of his politics. I think it's an interesting article. I think it was on PW Insider. I think maybe like a third of that is true.
Yeah, I think
2/3 of it is people just think he's a shitty wrestler. But I think a third of it, yes, I think it's his being on Fox and that kind of stuff. I don't. And anybody who denies that is got their head in the sand. Because
I mean, he tells it like it is. That's how he is.
Right. But you know, Mick Foley was a liberal, and he told it like it was. So was Punk. You know, that my point is, I do think that a portion of Tyrus's heat is from his right wing politics. And a part of it, not all of it. I think a lot of it is the fact that people think he's a crappy wrestler. But anyway, it's something. It was an article I saw, and I don't like getting into politics, but it was an article I saw on Insider. Billy Corgan said it, and I don't think he's totally wrong, but I think he's saying it, I think, is a crutch for the fact that everyone thinks it was a shitty choice to make him champion. So, and I think he's just trying to deflect, but never know. So there's your NWA 312 preview. We hope you enjoyed it. The show is tonight on Fight Plus. They'll have I think 7 o'clock. They'll probably have the pre-show on YouTube, and then the pay-per-view is on Fight Plus. So join us not tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Friday, there is no Saturday special tomorrow. Like I always do, I always try to give 24 hours of time for you to watch the show. So Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, 9 o'clock on the network, we will have the reaction special to NWA 312 to give everybody a day to watch it. So we'll let you know that if you haven't watched it and you see the show pop up, the podcast pop up, don't listen to it yet. Watch the show first. So we wanted to let you know that. So there will be no, because we're doing a show today and we're doing a show Sunday, there will actually be no show tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a day for you to be able to watch the show. Doctor, what was your thoughts? You watched all of WrestleMania. You watched all of it live. I watched night two live. I watched night one later on in the evening on Saturday night and a little bit Sunday morning. Excuse me. And you and I both watched it together live Sunday night. What were your overall thoughts on the show?
Well, I loved the Charlotte Flair Rhea Ripley match. That was great. It just shows you know, Charlotte's probably, I mean, she's arguably the greatest women's wrestler of all time, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
She puts a match with everyone. She always shows, you know, she's like her father, you know?
Yep. I agree. And
Rhea Ripley did an awesome job herself. So she's going to be a great one to come in future years. And so I enjoyed that. I love the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn storyline, the match with the Usos winning the championship. I really, really enjoyed that match a lot. That was tough because I think originally the women's match was supposed to be the headliner. I mean, you had 1A, one and 1A, I guess, with that in the women's match. But I really, really, really like those two matches a lot, especially for night one.
Right. I do too. I thought night one, I thought night one was better than night two. And that's the third straight year that, that night one was the better night.
I can't argue with that. No, night two, I mean, you know, what can we say? I mean, there's obviously a reason why they really want to keep Roman strong. I think everybody, you know, I said to you before too, and I said, you know, something tells me that Cody's not going to win it. I just think there was too much that, like, he was going to win it, showing pictures of the Eagle belt and all these different things.
Right. Right.
I mean, they didn't do it to just swerve the fans that night. I think they have a plan in mind. I mean, from a fan, I'm talking about from a fan standpoint, I was disappointed because I was really getting into Cody. I really would have loved to have seen him do it, you know. But from a business standpoint, I could see what they're trying to do. Get Roman over the 1,000 days and, you know, just make him see dominant and then... I don't know if I mean, I don't know if Cody's going to have that chance again. I really don't know.
He definitely will. It's called the Road to Redemption. Rhodes men are better at chasing. And to be honest with you, a lot of people thought that everything was coming too easy to him. Roman never got the upper hand on him. He won the Rumble easily at number 30. Everything was coming up roses, and then he gets disappointed with Solo Sikoa cheating at the end. And now the Road to Redemption begins. And maybe he wins Money in the Bank in July in London, or maybe he wins back-to-back Rumbles. And next year in Philly, the story is finished. I think what really pisses me off about wrestling fans now is everybody seems to think that you have to be undefeated. Once you lose one match, you're done. You might as well retire. That's the most ignorant ass backwards thinking I've ever heard in my life. Number one, you're telling me WWE was not going to take advantage of the 1,000 days marketing. I mean, come on, guys. How long have you been wrestling fans? How long have you known WWE to not want to make a buck?
Of course.
And why did Cody have to be undefeated? I think NXT ruined a lot of people's thinking on how wrestling booking works. It's like everybody's got to be undefeated. You can never lose. Once you lose, you're trash. And now everyone thinks Cody's trash. And it's like, that's fucking ridiculous. It's called a redemption story. If you don't like it, shut the fucking thing off. And you don't get to make any comments anymore. You lose your privileges. It's called the Road to Redemption. Now, if Omos turns babyface and we get and I'm live in Detroit at Ford Field watching a match as bad as the Lions are in that building, then we know Vince is taking over. I read some interesting things about Vince.
There's a lot going on with that deal, I think.
I want to read you some stuff. I know we were talking NWA, but I got to read you this. It's very interesting. I forgot where I saw this, but let's see. So, PW Torch will have more info on what's going on behind the scenes. Number one, Roman Reigns winning over Cody Rhodes was a Triple H decision and was the plan since November. Number two, Vince McMahon was meddling on Raw, but not to the extent that he was rewriting and tearing up scripts. Number three, this is an interesting one. The return of Vince isn't as universally opposed as some reports, according to one talent Wade Keller talked to. Still up in the air is if Vince will be at SmackDown tonight, as some people think Monday was just a special circumstance because he was in LA. And the plan was for Brock to turn heel and be Cody's next opponent to kind of cool off stuff with Roman until we get to the next chapter of that. Bayley wasn't with EO and Dakota on Monday as a way to protect her. Okay. Keller speculates that Bayley might be one of the talents that would be happy with Vince returning and feels like she'd be in a better place creatively with him back. And then there's an opinion by some schlub. Now, I'm still not happy about Vince being back. I think maybe it's more because I'm very protective of my guy, the H. this is a funny story going around. I guess Triple H is doing another promo tomorrow night to open SmackDown, like he did to open Raw. And a lot of the rumor is he's going to walk out and go, "I quit." Could you imagine? I quit. Fuck you and your stupid mustache.
Would anything shock you today, though?
I know, right? Where would he go? He can't use Triple H, but he won't give it. He doesn't have to use Triple H. He's never going to be on camera again. So if he ever left WWE, he could just be Paul Levesque and go do stuff. What does he give a fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean.
So, but that's not going to happen. That's just people being funny. I don't know. People have made points like, listen, Vince created the bloodline. Vince made Roman into this character. This is not a Triple H thing. It was handed to him. Triple H has made the mid-card better. He's focused on the mid-card. Triple H has done a great job of not fucking up the bloodline. He's done a good job of emphasizing both the Intercontinental and United States titles. True or false?
Yes.
You have two great, great champions in that in those slots in Gunther and Austin Theory. Two good heels. The tag division is still a little shitty, but they'll work on it. But now you have Sammy and KO, who everybody loves. And a lot of people think Vince would have booked that anyway. Do you believe that? Vince would have probably booked KO and Sammy to beat the Usos regardless. Now, people that just want to hate everything would say, no, Sammy would probably be fired, which is fucking asinine. But I think I have a feeling he probably would have booked him to win the titles anyway. But
yeah, it's going to be.
Do you think Roman still has legs? Do you think the bloodline? And do you think Roman as the chief, do you think this still has legs?
I do, but I think soon you got to do something because it will get stale.
I can't see him losing. I can't see the streak ending anywhere else but WrestleMania. So I hate to say it. I have a feeling he's going to hold the belt till Philly, at least again. I can't see him. Listen, I would love to see him do it in Detroit. I'm going to be there. It'd be pretty cool to see it happen. But I don't think it will. I don't think it will. I don't know.
But yeah, I'm tending to agree that the thing is, can they do something with Cody for a whole year?
Well, maybe. They did it with Cena after he lost to Rock in 2012, and then 1 year later at MetLife, you and I saw live him win it back, win the title from Rock, the 1 year Cena redemption storyline. Same thing. Sure they could. If you work hard at it, yeah. If those writers get paid to do exactly that, do it.
I don't know. What are we going to do about your guy?
I don't see. I have a feeling.
I think the thing is. I do agree with you. I tend to think that Roman's going to hold it to the next WrestleMania. They want to make him the longest and best champion of the recent era.
Only four guys have held the belt longer than Roman right now. And that is Hogan, Backlund, Pedro, and of course, Da Brun. You're not going to get to... We as wrestling fans don't have the patience for Roman to hold the belt for 8 years and try to break Bruno's 2,803 days. That's not happening. I don't think you're going to break. I think he's close to passing Pedro, but I can't see him breaking Backlund's 5 years from 78 to 83. I don't think that's going to happen. We just don't have the patience for it. And there's just not enough challengers, you know, unless guys come in, you know, like an MJF or something, but I would. I think they would like to see him break the Hogan stretch of 84 to 88. I do think they want to see him break that.
I agree.
So
now I see it happen. So I could see, you know, Cody being in some minor feuds and then getting back to Roman.
Sure.
But I do think what's going to have to happen for Roman, the bloodline's going to have to fall apart.
Yeah.
And that'll happen, and then probably Roman will be a face again.
The bloodline will have to fall apart before Roman loses. That's why I think a lot of people think that's why Cody didn't win, because he didn't bust the bloodline up. He just got in Roman's grill. Once again, I think WWE thinking is very different now than it was back in the 80s, 90s, whatever. You can't just have like this linear single strand storyline between champion and challenger for WrestleMania when you've got all the other stuff around it. And everybody thought, well, Cody won, which means he's beaten Roman, but Cody had no, he wasn't being chased by the bloodline. He wasn't being beat down by the bloodline. Unfortunately, Sami Zayn, not unfortunately, I guess, you know, Sami Zayn had more at stake emotionally in everything involving the bloodline than Roman, than Cody did.
Blew up more than they thought it was going to.
Right. I agree. Anyway, I know we kind of went off the track a bit, but I don't get to talk to the doctor about WWE a lot. So, and I watch WrestleMania with him. So our next pay-per-view outing, the next three pay-per-views are all outside the continental United States, starting with Saturday, May 6th, Backlash in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And then Memorial Day weekend, we have the King and Queen of the Ring show in Saudi Arabia. And then July 1st, I think it is Money in the Bank in London. And then we're back, and then back in the U.S. on August 5th for SummerSlam.
A lot of wrestling, huh?
Yeah. Of course, the big announcement this week, we'll talk about it this coming week on Main Event. Tony Khan announced that All Out will not only not be Labor Day weekend, but for the first time, AEW is doing a big show outside the U.S. It'll be August 27th, I think he said, at Wembley. How about that? Good for AEW. This is AEW's first chance to, put on a show in a stadium. I'll be curious to see if they have the roster and the booking to carry.
I'm great for American wrestling there, and you know, TNA always did very well overseas. They did better than they did domestically.
Right.
And, you know, AEW does have a following overseas. So I think they'll do pretty well overseas.
But we're also talking about an 80,000 seat building as compared to a, 15,000 seat building.
It's at Wembley Stadium, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a fucking soccer stadium. You're talking about 75,000 seats, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they could do that yet in America.
Right.
But we'll see. I bet you they
tighten it up a little bit and maybe they max out at like maybe 45,000. I don't think they'll fill the whole place up like WWE did at SummerSlam 92. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll tighten it up the layout and maybe they'll get 45,000. Which is fine. I think they should be very happy with that, to be honest.
The difference between AEW and WWE in terms of fandom, the WWE now, again, World Wrestling Entertainment, they're entertaining. You're going to get even marginal fans. You're going to get people want to be kind of like the Super Bowl. They want to be part of something that's big. They made it like a Super Bowl where you may not even be the biggest wrestling fan in the world, but you'll go watch WrestleMania. You'll watch the one big show a year, or you want to be in thing going on, so that's why WWE, I mean, Vince created what he wanted. He made an entertainment company, and AEW's for like true, like, wrestling fans that just want, it's all about the wrestling and the storylines, whereas WWE, it's about the glitz and the glamour and the storylines as well, and the wrestling, but it's this whole big package. And that's why WWE is able to draw what they're drawing right now. AEW is not at that level right now.
But it's WWE. But like I said, I think they'll tighten up the building. That's what I'm saying. It's a consolation. You keep saying that. AEW is not going to fill 78,000 seats. And I think they know that. But the fact that they're taking a shot in a big building, I think they're going to tighten up the set. And I think they could get maybe 45,000. Maybe like they do at the Carrier Dome when they do basketball and they cut the football.
Better. I don't know. I think they're very strong overseas. So who knows? I mean, but my point
but
is.
But you need a big main event.
WWE could have, I mean, even we, WWE is the hottest. It's been, a long, long time.
Right.
Even when they weren't as hot as they are now, they were still selling out these big buildings because it's an experience. They've made these shows like more than just a wrestling show. It's an experience for everyone. And again, you get a lot of marginal fans to go out to these big shows.
But you need a good main event. And I'm going to tell you right now, Punk is not it. There is nobody in AEW right now that will fill 78,000. I'm sorry, there isn't.
To me, he's irrelevant. You know what?
But there's no, there's right now, there is no main, there is nobody in AEW that can bring 78,000 people if they try to fill the whole place. It's just not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, you.
But if they do some kind of schematic where they fit 40 or 45,000, then maybe. But right now,
they need to find somebody that has that could, you know, face off against MJF.
The best thing, Tony Khan is so happy right now, seeing all of this hullabaloo with Vince, because he's back to thinking the way he did in 2021 and 2022, early 2020, not even early 2022. I guess 2020 and 2021, when WWE was kind of in the stinker during the pandemic, and AEW was red hot, and Vince and Tony Khan thought that he would just cherry pick all these people that were leaving. But nobody in WWE that's got that much cachet is leaving. So we'll see. Yeah. I'm happy for him. I am very happy that they're expanding. I think this is a big thing for AEW. All In is their WrestleMania. I think this is a great move. I just hope August they have a main event that could fill that place.
Wrestling fans want to take sides. They want the Monday Night Wars thing back again. You're never going to see that again, so get over it. My thing is that competition is good for the business. WWE has gotten better since AEW's been around, haven't they?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with main eventing? I don't disagree with you, but what I'm saying is
it's good to have. It's good to have the competition. What I'm saying is that people are always complaining. You see how it goes online. Like, why can't everybody just be happy that there's two companies? And really, AEW is not in WWE's league. It's going to take a long time for them. And listen, they've done a good job in the short period of time. But
listen, you're talking about being in their league, and here they are booking an 80,000 seat building for a show.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy for AEW. I think this is a ballsy move. I think they're taking a shot in the dark, and I applaud Tony Khan for hanging his nuts out. But I'm sorry, right now, no combination of people on that roster is big enough to fill that whole place. I'm sorry, there isn't.
They're going to have to sometime
between now and then, Tony Khan's going to come up with something really big.
We'll again, because they got to create something around the company that they got to make it some kind of experience for people. It's got to be something more than just the actual show. It's got to be the whole package.
I agree with you. You're right.
And you know, if they do that, you know, stop this like, oh, my God, you know, it is about the entertainment. I mean, it's so funny because wrestling fans, we've all been like, oh, we hate all this. We, you know, we just want the true grit wrestling, you know, which I do. I mean, you know, we love the NWA in the 80s and stuff like that. But we also like the showmanship. We like the big lights, the bright lights, you know. It's a double-edged sword, but I love that there's competition now because I feel like the WWE has gotten better since.
I don't disagree with you.
I mean, this is the most WWE I've watched in years, the last few months.
But are you getting my point? You keep bringing up competition. What? And you're right, but that's not my point. What I'm getting at is if AEW is going to like hit a grand slam with this show, I hope Tony Khan has something on his mind to fill that main event, because I'm sorry, there's nobody. John Moxley and CM Punk, the rematch, is not going to get 80,000 people to Wembley. It's not happening. Sorry, nobody cares.
Well, MJF's their guy.
Can MJF fill 80,000 seats? Maybe. Maybe not.
It depends on who his opponent is.
Yeah, the opponent's the key.
It can't just be one person. It has to be
somebody. I look forward to it. Do you like how the NWA Saturday special sometimes morphs into like an epilogue of main event? It's because Dr. G never gets to be on main event, so I kind of give him a little out of NWA soapbox to chat. So, Anyway, this was the preview for tonight's at WA 312. I hope you enjoyed it. Enjoy the pay-per-view tonight. Of course, follow us on Twitter at PTB and Wrestling. Well, maybe we'll do some tweets tonight during the show. Excuse me. And no show tomorrow. We'll be back Sunday morning. It'll drop at 9 a.m. here on the network. The reaction special. Dr. G and I will give you our reactions to how NWA 312 went down. And looking ahead to, in all likelihood, the Crockett Cup, which is probably the next pay-per-view. Have a great evening. Enjoy the show tonight if you're getting it. It's on Fight Plus. If you have Fight Plus, it's on Fight. If you have Fight Plus, it's included. If you don't, I think it's $30 or $25, something like that. Anyway, enjoy the show. Enjoy your Saturday, and we'll talk to you Sunday morning. I'm Scott. He's the doctor. You're not.
Yeah.
Hippity hop.